Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city at last.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Christian Sentinel radio network. And we have a YouTube channel that's under my name, Susan Puzio, and our website, propheticnews.com. Also, if you'd like to email me, you can email me at susan@propheticnews.com, susan@propheticnews.com, and I will answer your email. We also have our book, and the book is Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings, and they do, and I share a little bit about my testimony in the book about when I was in the Word of Faith movement. And we also go through some of the background of some of the famous Word of Faith preachers like Oral Roberts and Kenneth Copeland, Paula White, Marilyn Hickey, Benny Hinn. But the book is almost 300 pages, and so it's full of information, and it's large print, so it's easy to read, you know, for old eyes. So, anyway, that's available for you out there. But anyway, we got some terrible news yesterday about our president, and it was very shocking. I have to say, I guess I was 14 years old when John F. Kennedy got shot in Dallas, and I think we suffer from PTSD, a kind of a form of PTSD after that. Now, I was 14, so I wasn't an adult, but we could still feel the gravity of the moment when something happens to a president, whether you like Donald Trump or not. I like him. And when something happens to the leader of your country, you feel it. And so we really have to remember him in our prayers. We just don't know what's going on. I'm telling you, this whole thing, this virus, how did it get here? How did it affect the whole world? And how did it get to a president? Now, I believe in wearing a mask, but you can still get the virus wearing a mask. It's not 100% foolproof. Of course, it helps to keep away from people if you can. But honestly, aren't we just tired of this? It's like, you know, it's 8 months of living in the twilight zone, and you feel like a stranger in a strange land. So I know I would like to have a normal life again. I'm sure the president felt that way, and I'm sure he didn't want to get sick. He probably never thought he was going to get sick. I just think it's very odd that so many people that are close to him have come down with this thing. They're trying to track it to see if they could find out who spread it. You really just don't know, because it's so insidious and so wicked. And a friend of mine and I were talking the other day, and we were saying, well, it certainly looks like we're in the end times. And we really, you know, we really don't want to see any of the tribulation. Now, I don't know if we're going to be here. I don't get into these arguments about are we going to be here? Are we not going to be here? I don't know. But whatever happens to us, we have to endure to the end. Amen. So this is kind of a form of tribulation, this plague that's going on, and it affects the president of the United States and quite a few of his staff members. And so we were saying, well, we all talk about the end times and we'd like to talk about it, but we don't want to live through it, right? But we just don't know. I'm telling you, we just don't know what the next thing is. I think it was so shocking, and I can't stop getting the updates to see how he's doing, because this thing, you just don't know from one day to another. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And I know, I don't know anybody personally that's died of it, but there's been friends that you see that a pastor died from Ohio, that John Haller, who does the prophetic prophecy report on Christian Sentinel Radio, I think it was his associate pastor, but he was, I think, in his late 40s, but he caught it and he passed away. So, but he had quite a few pre-existing conditions. He had other things that were wrong with him, so he didn't really have a strong immune system. But we just don't know. Yeah, Fellowship Bible Chapel is the name. Thanks, Shannon. Pastor Steve Mitchell was his name. Fellowship Bible Chapel, Sunbury, Ohio. Yeah. Yeah, very, very sad. And so it really hits home when it's somebody that you know and love. And, of course, the President of the United States, we see him all the time, and he's so full of energy, and he's very charismatic. And so it was very shocking when we heard the news and the First Lady. So their children have to be very concerned, I'm sure. It's devastating news, and we just have to keep him in prayer. That's one thing for sure. I see people praying for him all over the place. There's all kinds of prayer meetings going on. And so there was supposed to be some kind of a rally. I couldn't find it, but they mentioned it on the news, because they mentioned that they were blocking off the roads around the White House because there was supposed to be some kind of a pro-Trump rally there in D.C. today. But I did find one that was in New York State, Staten Island, which I thought was terrific. They were having a big rally there, and the Republican, they opened up with a terrific prayer. The guy was really saved that said the prayer, and then they said that they were registering the Republicans. I think it was like 10 to 1 or something. Staten Island, New York now. That's pretty, pretty interesting, but I was saying to another friend of mine, I said, I don't know, why did God let this happen? I was asking the Lord that yesterday, how did this happen? And my friend said to me that, well, maybe the Lord was protecting him from something else, which that's it. It's a very, very dangerous job to be president of the United States, because you have so many people that hate you because of this, and they hate you because of that. But yet, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to pray for those in authority, and let me read a couple scriptures here. This one's good. Psalm 2, 1 through 4. Why do the heathen rage? Is that true, right? And the people imagine a vain thing. Let's see. Job 12, 23-25. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them. Yes, amen. Psalm 22:28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Amen. And then Proverbs 2:21-1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it with whithersoever he will. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Let me get the rest of this first. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So whether you like the leader or not, and we still have to pray for them, and especially when they're not well and they contact this horrible virus that we never thought we were going to see this kind of thing in our lifetime, that's for sure. But we don't know what's up ahead for us. And that's why we have to stay strong, because we're going to have to stand. If the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have to stand in these days. And so we have to know in whom we have believed, and we have to stay in the Word of God, and we can't be tossed around with every wind of doctrine, and you can't believe everything you hear on the news, and I see it. Just like the false prophets and the false teachers, they do scripture twisting. They like to do scripture twisting, and it's kind of the same thing in politics. They'll take something somebody says, and then they twist it, and then they make a sound bite out of it, and the person never even said the thing, but they can get people to believe a lie. And it's the same thing in the churches. Preachers can get you to believe a lie, and it's a seducing spirit, so they seduce you. A friend of mine was telling me about this pastor or this bishop or whatever, J. Delano Ellis, and these people, they dress up like Catholics. They're not Catholics. They're supposed to be Church of God in Christ or something like that. But they dress up like Catholics. The men wear the long dresses, and they put those lace tops on, white tops with the lace on it, and they wear little beanies, and they carry a staff. It's really weird. Anyway, he passed away, and they had a funeral for him, and his wife gets up, and she said he took a delegation of men with him to visit the Pope. Could you imagine? What do we have in common with the Catholic Church? Nothing. So anyway, the wife gets up, and she was talking about how her husband was a great ecumenical person, and he tried to bring everybody together. And T.D. Jakes even came to this funeral, and he was saying, oh yes, it was wonderful when he took people to visit the Pope. So these people, they act crazy. It's crazy to talk like that. It's crazy to dress like that. I can't imagine getting up in the morning and going to my closet and putting on a priest uniform with a collar on it. I can't even imagine. And then they were calling the pastor's wife queen. She's the queen. No, don't believe your own press. Don't believe your own press, please. So it gets weirder and weirder and weirder as time goes on. And that's why all of us are responsible for knowing the Word of God, for ourselves, because anybody could tell you anything out there, and they're doing it. They're doing it. They'll tell you anything. I even turned on the television last night. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And who do I see? And it was on an NBC channel. NBC, one of the regular channels, not cable, a regular channel. And it was that David Cirillo camp meeting. And they had some huckster on there asking people to give $1,000. He's taken over the airwaves, this guy. Yeah. Amen, Brother Vince. Yes, I don't understand it either, why they're so infatuated by the Pope. But it's like a form of the Antichrist. People are fascinated with power. So that's one thing. If somebody's in power and you could rub shoulders with them, so what? You rub shoulders with him. He's a man just like everybody else, except that you have to bow down to him. You have to kiss his ring. And he lives in a 1,000-room palace. He lives like a king in his own little country there, Vatican City. So, but anyway, we just don't know what's up ahead for us. I don't know what's going to happen. We just pray that President Trump recovers and that he comes out of this without any physical harm, because this virus can damage your heart and it can damage other organs. It's just horrible, horrible. And really, if they could find out who put it here, they say the Chinese. I'm not 100% convinced it was totally the Chinese. I think they might have had something to do with it, of course. But I think it could have been somebody else, too. How do you infect the whole world? It can't just come from China. Because almost every country has this. So it's kind of mind-boggling, really, to try to figure out. But there was also an interesting story here on a website about Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton, remember when she was running for president and then these WikiLeaks leaked these tapes that they had of her and John Podesta? Well, no, with John Podesta, her chief of staff or whatever it was, weird guy. Anyway, they were doing this spirit cooking, which it came to light when these emails were leaked, and it's a demonic practice by this lady that's a witch. Her name is Abramovich, I think. I can't remember her first name, but I think it's Abramovich. And anyway, they were having these spirit cooking things, and they were cooking disgusting things, which I won't even mention. But anyway, they were doing these satanic rituals. And so anyway, this website has this book. Now, Hillary Clinton is also doing a podcast now, but she has a book on her desk. And it's a book featuring glass devils in weird positions, which I won't even mention those, but why would you have a book like that? But you can see when people can be happy that somebody is sick, as some people are wishing that something would happen to the president, and how could you say such things? Because whether you like him or not, he's still a human being. He's a man, he's a father, he's a husband, he's the world leader. Nobody has the clout that the president of the United States has. Nobody has. Nobody. We were having a conversation yesterday. My friend was telling me that too. Who pays attention? We pay attention to some other countries in a way, but mainly the United States is the country that most of the world pays attention to what's happening over here. So We have a very powerful nation. And so I don't, people are hateful that you could really suffer from this thing. And we just pray that the Lord gets him through. But you could see the evil. They were saying that there's some kind of a documentary online about, I don't know if it was called the Clinton Chronicles or something like that, but I think it was one of the state troopers that worked on Clinton, Bill Clinton's security detail when he was the governor. And they talked about the fact that Hillary had association with witches, which I don't deny because she's a master manipulator, but so is he. And they're purveyors of false information. They love to give out false information to mislead people, but they do a good job with it. They used to call it spin, and they would spin a story. Yeah, Nichols. Oh yeah, his name is Larry Nichols. Yeah, that's it. Right. Thank you. Amen. And that's who did the documentary about Hill. Supposedly they mention it in there about her association with witchcraft, which I don't deny. I mean, after all, why does she have this book on her desk when she's doing this podcast? And you could see this book, they have a circle around it. And by some guy, Lucio Bubaco, but I wouldn't recommend looking at it because it's, I wouldn't recommend looking at it. It's disgusting. I didn't look at the book. I looked at the story, and the story was bad enough. So, but she wasn't trying to hide the fact. She wasn't hiding the book. It's there by her microphone. You know, sometimes if you look at people when they're doing videos on the internet and they're in their library, you can see their books and you can see what kind of books they read. You can do close-ups and you can get an idea of what kind of material they're reading. So she had this out there for everybody to see. So she's not trying to deny it. And let's see, our brother Vince, now he has, Vince, post in the chat room what time your program is on and what the name of your program is, because our brother Vince Truth Sharks, he's doing a broadcast, and you might want to tune in. He does a good broadcast. So if you post the name of your show and where they can find it and the time, then I'll tell the people where it is here. So anyway, the next week, I'm going to have Jackie on again, and we're going to talk next week about, did you ever see these people that, so-called Bible teachers, and they teach on astrology? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the law of attraction, and a little bit about Kim Clement and some of the off-the-wall things he was saying. Even Jackie said she had a audio where he talks about, yeah, telling some guy when he's supposedly prophesying to him that he's a Scorpio. I mean, you know, give me a break. But anyway, we're going to talk about that next week. And I think we're also going to talk about a little bit to bring in masonry also, which, of course, today we're going to talk a little bit about George Washington and the fact that he became a Mason. I think when he was 21 years old, he became a Mason. And I'll put some pictures up on my show page. I didn't put any up yet today, but if you wanted to search on the internet for George Washington Mason and look for the images, you'll see quite a few pictures of him in his regalia. He was wearing the apron, and so it's not a rumor. It's a true story. They even have a museum in Washington, D.C., a Masonic museum. But anyway, somebody came out with this story that George Washington, the first president of the United States, which a lot of people claim he was a Christian, but I find it hard to believe that he would be a Mason and be a Christian, because they don't mix. They don't mix. But anyway, there's this guy appears on Sid Roth's show, and he wrote a book about George Washington and his vision that he had when an angel appeared to him. But the angel that appeared to him was a female angel. Now, there's no such thing as a female angel. Angels are not female. So that should have been a number one clue that whatever was visiting George Washington wasn't an angel of the Lord. So here's the first part of the story.
This new country that we've declared independence from Britain, and George Washington was leading 25,000 men. They were on they were stationed outside of Valley Forge, and they were losing men to the elements. And he was praying and asking God for help and for strength for one more day to be able to fight and to secure this nation's, this fledgling nation's, you know, democracy. And while he was doing that, he went back into his quarters to pray in his tent, and he had a visitation, Sid, and it was incredible. And that's what the premise of this book was, that God has got a plan for this, led him through each peril. The first peril was about the Revolutionary War. The second peril was about the Civil War, and he saw how each time the country came together back into unity through these perils, but there was another peril that came, and the angel said, this is the most dangerous peril, and we have not to date seen that peril, but I believe this is what George Washington saw back in 1777, and what he saw was this. Dark clouds that came from around different nations from all around the world. And it was not a physical army. He described it as a black cloud that had red eyes or red flashes in it. And it was a demonic army, a demonic presence. And he saw buildings burning. I mean, look what's happening in our country now. He saw buildings burning. He saw all kinds of people fighting and millions of voices crying out. And he said that he watched this like a television screen. And I've been in encounters like that, prophetic encounters. And like this prophet that you're talking about, he saw things. I've seen things like this. Well, President George Washington saw these things as well. And he said, right when it looked like all hope would be lost, he said that the angel that was there in the vision took a trump and he put it to his mouth and he blew a long, fearful blast, and that's what the angel said.
Did he use the word in the vision? Did President George Washington use the word Trump in his vision?
It was trumpet, but it was also Trump. There's one place where it says Trump, and then it says trumpet. So you can say trumpet or Trump. I think it's pretty clear what that is, you know, irregardless. When this chaos was happening in America, the angel put a trumpet or a trump to his mouth and released a long, fearful blast. And it says that the light of 1,000 suns invaded. This is the God factor, Sid, that you were seeing. The God factor is that at the sound of that trump, which I believe is the glory of God, the restoration of this nation that will carry us into the future, only God can do this. That trumpet sound came and said union on his head, and he placed it on the people, and the people bowed down and said amen. And then the angel said one more thing. He said, as long as there are stars in the heaven, and as long as the dew comes down upon the earth, so shall the union live forever. Now, I firmly believe.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyway, here's part two. Now they're trying to make George Washington into a
George prophecy. Washington prophecies. I did not, the angelic visitation, I've heard of that. I didn't even know what it was. And I thought maybe it's an old legend. Maybe it really didn't happen. But the Library of Congress says different. But what would you say is some amazing thing you gleaned from this book?
Well, the premise of the book was basically from the George Washington visitation, but there are other things and prophetic words that are detailed in the book that talk about what will happen when President Trump visions, from visitations to prophetic words. All of these things are cataloged. It would take too long to be able to go into it. But the premise of this book is definitely the visitation. And what the Lord said would be coming out of, this is not a Democratic thing. This is not a Republican thing. But that there would be a third party coming out called the People's Party. Because literally, the thing that excites me the most, Sid, is this. Is that this nation is coming back to a place of patriotism and the love of God. The love of Jesus Christ, which it was founded upon like no other time in history. And the outside forces have brought such darkness, has tried to suppress, confuse the people with Muslim agendas and all these different kinds of agendas. But the real America, which you are, this is why you need to get this book, the real America, which you are, the silent majority, you know, the deplorables, the Bible-toting, gun-toting, apple pie, Chevrolet, and Jesus, Americans who really love the Lord and are after God. There's such an awakening, Sid, that's coming to this nation. It's going to wake us back up to the reality of what brought this nation together, and it's Jesus Christ. It really is in God we trust. So there is such patriotism, such love of God, and love of the flag, but the love of Jesus Christ, and it is all connected to Israel. We are coming into some of the greatest times in human history. I do hint at it, but I'll tell you here, administration. It's not just going to be the next 4 years or 8 years. I saw 20 years, Sid, clearly. I saw 20 years, and I believe it's even further because the Lord spoke to me and I saw in an encounter, he said, Jeff, when the last trump sounds. And I said, what do you mean the last trump sounds? He said, at the last trump, it will sound. Well, the last trump. And I said, Lord, what do you mean the last trump? It was a play on words. Baron Trump.
Wow. Boy, that did actually explain what it meant. Jeff, we would be remiss before God, and I have to admonish everyone watching us right now. Never prayed, or you don't pray every United States of America. Don't take the greatest country in the world for granted. God has a destiny that the United States of America has never even touched. We are going to fund the gospel to evangelize the world on the billion soul harvest.
Amen.
But you notice Jeff also talked, it's going to raise up evangelists, fiery evangelists that we haven't seen outside maybe evangelists like Paul, who rocked the entire Gentile world. So I see the flames of revival going to Israel. And by the way, do you know how much hope there is for Israel? Well, of course, God says, but in the natural, if the UN in the picture, do you know how quickly the Arab nations would devour Israel? But that's not going to happen. However, these two countries are at stake in ending the consequences.
That's right.
So the book is available right now if you go to sidroth.org.
But it is about the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah. He is Messiah and he is King. And he's wanting you, he's asking you for your heart today, to give your heart.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I don't think so. I like the way they say, and we're going to fund the gospel. There's billions of dollars that are being poured into ministries every year. Billions. But most of these people don't want to use the things that are available for free or that cost very little money. They want to use expensive television time, or they want to buy their own jet so they could fly around to different countries and preach. But there's so many avenues out there to preach the gospel, and you don't have to spend $1 million. Yes, we've managed to reach, I would say, millions of people. I'm not saying on the radio broadcast we have, but we've reached 750,000 listens in the years we've been on. So that's pretty good. And then on YouTube, we have had some tremendous numbers on some of the videos. The biggest video that I did on YouTube was when Benny Hinn and Paula White got caught in Rome together holding hands. And I think I got something like over 1 million views. For some reason, that Benny Hinn and that story was very popular. But so we've managed, on a very limited budget, let me tell you, to reach all these people. So if everybody did their part, and you can't beat one-on-one evangelism, that's how I got saved, with somebody witnessed to me. So you can't beat that, and that doesn't cost anything. You just have to open your mouth and quote scripture. So they keep, what are you waiting for? How much money do you need to fund the gospel? Just do it. Do something. There's even Blog Talk Radio will give you, or they used to give you, I don't know if they're still doing it, but they would give you 15 minutes a day for free. And you could go on YouTube for free and preach your heart out. So there's plenty of avenues, but they're so greedy, and they have to live in mansions and drive expensive cars and have all their custom-made suits and their Rolexes, which I don't care if they have that stuff, if they're a businessman or whatever. If they earn their own money, then I don't care what they buy. It's none of my business what you buy. But if you're telling people that you need money to preach the gospel, and then you're living a lavish lifestyle off the back of God's people, and you're not really preaching the gospel like you should, then I don't believe those people should be funded. But I believe you should use every avenue you can. And if people don't fund your work, then you can fund it yourself if you have to. And you have to be willing to do that. So, but we can't be beggars and we can't be liars either. So yeah, they're still waiting. They're still waiting. Oh, and we're gonna fund the gospel. And they think that there's going to be some kind of a great revival in this country, which I don't see happening. I see a great falling away happening. I don't see any great revival happening. And anyway, I mean, God doesn't have a most favored nation status with the United States that, oh, he favors us above all nations. No, there's no scripture for that. So there's all kinds of stuff that went on in the history of America. And as far as this vision from George Washington, please. This vision certainly didn't come from God. And here's a little bit of background on the Masonic connection with George Washington.
To dedicate the cornerstone with corn, wine, and oil. We present them now in the name of the great architect of the universe to invoke his continued blessing, which he has bestowed upon our country and its people.
Most worshipful, we pour this corn as an emblem of nourishment. May it serve as a symbol of nourishment for all of humanity. Most worshipful, we pour this wine as an emblem of refreshment. May the giver of every blessing prosper all our laudable undertakings. Most worshipful, we pour this oil as an emblem of joy. May peace, love, happiness transcend this great land.
So mote did it be.
Mote be.
The ceremony of laying a cornerstone has been passed down to us from time immemorial. It is symbolic of that spiritual building which each one of us is engaged in erecting during the course of our natural lives. May the great ruler of the universe continue to bless and consecrate this structure which has risen from the foundation stone, and may he continue to bless us as we erect our spiritual building, the chief foundation stone of which may always be well formed, true, and trusty.
That was a Masonic ritual that they were doing, but you notice all the strange names they have for their god. And they're doing some kind of a corn and oil mixture. And then, you know, they say most worshipful. But anyway, that's one of their ceremonies. And here is a audio from, I think this man was the curator of the museum, the Masonic Museum there in Washington, D.C. And you could visit this museum when you go there. And they have a lot of the artifacts that are associated with George Washington, his Masonic artifacts.
Which built the building that we're in. That association traces its history back to the local lodge here in Alexandria, which Washington became a member of after the War for Independence in 1784. That local lodge here in Alexandria, after Washington died, gathered up and received many Washington-related items from the Washington family and then from the history of Alexandria. And they had a museum that opened here in Alexandria in 1812. And through the 19th century, that museum was a repository and a semi-public museum for George Washington material. By 1900, tourism, the threat of fire, other things, caused the local Freemasons to call a meeting of Freemasons from around the country to form an association to potentially build a larger museum or some sort of memorial to George Washington. So from the lodge grew a committee that grew into an association of Freemasons from around the country, and that association by 1921 had enough money and acquired enough land to start construction of the memorial itself. So the ground was broken in 1922. They raised money and built only as they had the money available. They hired the architect, Harvey Wiley Corbett, from New York City. And the cornerstone ceremony for the memorial was held in 1923. And at that ceremony, President Coolidge, as well as the governor and many other dignitaries, including Chief Justice William Howard Taft, were there. And about 15,000 Freemasons from all over the country came for that ceremony. And then they built the building through the 1920s and dedicated it in 1932, which is the bicentennial of the birth of Washington. So the building was built, the general contractor was a Cranford company, local, and then of course the architects were out of New York, and there were other consulting architects in Michigan. They built, obviously, it was a seasonal thing, and it depended on what was going on, but I would imagine during the full production, they probably had a couple hundred men on the job site. The building is solid concrete with a granite facade. So they were pouring concrete, and then the stones, the granite stones, were quarried and carved in New Hampshire and then brought down by train to the job site and then put into place.
Yeah, so you see there, George Washington became a Mason when he was about 21 years old. And they say that he joined, I think he was in the army, but he became a soldier anyway when he was a teenager. And then he was leading these troops when he was in his 20s. So he had a long history of being a soldier. And so then, as I was looking for more information about these Washington prophecies that they're putting out there, of course, the Mormons have to jump in on it because they have an angel, Moroni, yeah, their angel Moroni, that appeared to Joseph Smith, I'm pretty sure. Was it Joseph Smith or Brigham Young? One of those. Anyway, this angel appeared and they gave these tablets, and then they wrote the Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price, one of those. Another angelic visitation, but it's heresy. So, of course, the Mormons jump in on this bandwagon because they love this anything that has to do with angels. So here's the Mormon take on the George Washington prophecy.
This new country that we've declared independence from Britain, and George Washington was leading 25,000 men. They were on they were stationed outside of Valley Forge, and they were losing men to the elements. And he was praying and asking.
The wrong one. Here we go.
I'm going to talk about George Washington. This is in the Library of Congress. I don't know how you receive this. I don't know how spiritual you are or are not. But you can look up George Washington's vision and prophecy for America. George Washington was probably one of the best human beings that's ever lived in America. He loved this country. He gave everything for it, as it said, first in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen. People have tried for generations to dig up dirt on this man. It's not there. So in the darkest days of the war, they were in Valley Forge. It's 1777. People were deserting by the thousands. Washington's army had suffered several reverses, and so their situation was desperate. And the Continental Congress wasn't helping. Oftentimes, George Washington was known to go and pray. It was winter, there was a lot of disease and exposure, people were sick, they didn't have shoes. Now, Anthony Sherman was one of the observers. What had happened is that on a particular day, George Washington went out to pray, he came back. This is what Anthony Sherman said. He said his face was pale, a shade paler than usual. He called everybody, all of his officers, into his quarters. Once they were in attendance, he shared with them this story of this experience that he'd had. He said, I'm going to share it with you. This afternoon, as I was sitting at this table engaged in preparing a dispatch, something seemed to disturb me. Looking up, I beheld standing opposite me a singularly beautiful female. So astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed, that it was some moments before I found language to inquire the cause of her presence. A second, a third, even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from my mysterious visitor except a slight raising of her eyes. By this time, I felt strange sensations spreading through me. I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. I essayed once more to address her, but my tongue had become useless as though it had become paralyzed. A new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took possession of me. All I could do was gaze steadily, vacantly at my unknown visitor. Gradually, the surrounding atmosphere seemed as if it had become filled with sensations and luminous. Everything about me seemed to rarefy. The mysterious visitor herself became more airy, and yet more distinct to my sight than before. I now began to feel as one dying, or rather experience the sensations which I had sometimes imagined accompany dissolution. I did not think, I did not reason, I did not move. All were alike impossible. I was only conscious of gazing fixedly, vacantly at my companion. Presently I heard a voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." While at the same time my visitor extended her arm eastwardly, I now beheld a heavy white vapor at some distance rising fold upon fold. This gradually dissipated, and I looked upon a strange scene. Before me lay spread out in one vast plain all the countries of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. I saw rolling and tossing between Europe and America the billows of the Atlantic, and between Asia and America lay the Pacific. "Son of the Republic," said the same mysterious voice as before, "look and learn." At that moment, I beheld a dark, shadowy being, like an angel, standing, or rather floating in midair between Europe and America. Dipping water out of the ocean in the hollow of each hand, he sprinkled some upon America with his right hand, while with his left hand he cast a cloud raised from these countries and joined in mid-ocean. For a while it seemed stationary.
Please. Son of the Union, and the mysterious being is floating in the air while she, which is no female angels, is giving George Washington this prophetic word, which he's saying is in a book in the Library of Congress. I never heard of this until last week. The first time I ever heard about this, but expect to hear anything in the days ahead. Anyway, here's part two of this man's testimony here.
Then it moved slowly westward until it enveloped America in its murky folds. Sharp flashes of lightning gleamed through it at intervals, and I heard the smothered groans and cries of the American people. A second time, the angel dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it out as before. The heavy, dark, heavy cloud was then drawn back to the ocean, in whose heavy billows it sank from view. A third time I heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." I cast my eyes upon America and beheld villages and towns and cities springing up one after another until the whole land from the Atlantic to the Pacific was dotted with them. Again, I heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, the end of the century cometh. Look and learn." At this, the dark shadowy angel turned his face toward, and from Africa I saw an ill-omened specter approach our land. It flitted slowly over every town and city of the latter. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle array against each other. As I continued looking, I saw a bright angel on whose brow rested a crown of light, and on which traced the word Union, bearing the American flag, which he placed between the divided nation, and said, "Remember ye our brethren." Instantly, the inhabitants, casting from them their weapons, became friends once more, and united around the national standard. And again, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At this, the dark shadowy angel placed a trumpet into his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. And taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it on Europe, Asia, and Africa. Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these countries arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one. Throughout this mass were gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men, who, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America. Our country was enveloped in the volume of cloud, I saw these vast armies devastate the whole country. I saw the burning of villages, towns, and cities that I beheld springing up. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of swords, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I heard again the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." When the voice had ceased, the dark shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. Instantly, a light, as of a thousand suns, shone down from above above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same time, for a moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union, and who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other, descended from the heavens, attended by legions of white. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately, taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Amid the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, Son of the Republic, look and learn. And the voice ceased, and the shadowy angel for the last time dipped the water from the ocean, sprinkled it upon America. Instantly the doubt rolled back, together the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Then once more I beheld villages, towns, and cities springing up where I had seen them before, while the bright angel, planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried.
Oh, dear. Wow. That's a good story, isn't it? That's a good story. George Washington. I never heard George Washington was a prophet. No, I never heard that one. Never heard it. Now, I love living in this country. I love this country. I do. I'm glad I was born here, and I love living here. But this kind of thing, which is a false vision, number one, and she's this female angel floating through the air. All of a sudden, he gets this visitation, and he gets all these words, and he sees all this. I don't see this kind of a future for this country, because we see so much chaos now, and the Bible doesn't predict peace. The Bible predicts that there's going to be lawlessness, which we're seeing a lot of lawlessness now, and there's going to be a tribulation. So I even heard Sid Roth say, I think I heard him say this yesterday, that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think he said, what did he say? The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ could hold back, what was it, to hold back the tribulation? Something like that. He was saying that we could pray away and hold back the things that are coming. Well, I don't think that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in charge of what the Bible predicts. We can't change what the Bible predicts, even though what the Bible predicts for the end times is not something we really want to be around for, but we just don't know what's going to happen. We know that the Bible says that there's going to be martyrs in the end times, and there's a lot of things are going to happen. So I don't see all this fluff that they talk about, and I think we have to be realistic, and we have to prepare for anything. Because a year ago, we were leading normal lives. We didn't have to go out and wear a mask. We didn't have to be afraid to get close to somebody. We could hug our friends and those type of things, and go to large gatherings and not be afraid that somebody's going to spit on you or cough on you or whatever, even though you didn't like it, you know, especially if somebody had the flu or whatever. But whoever thought that we would be where we are today? And people are trying to get their lives back to normal, like the football teams, the NFL comes back, they're trying to play football, and now Cam Newton's come down with coronavirus, and then about 8 of the Tennessee Titans that came down with it. So what's going to happen there? And I don't notice, this is one thing even about mask wearing, and I think you should wear a mask. It's fine to protect yourself. I don't have anything against it. But the thing is, these crazy politicians, they don't talk about the fact that the NFL players, they're not wearing masks when they're playing football. And nobody's saying anything about that. Nobody was saying anything about all those people that were marching and burning and throwing bricks and whatever. They weren't wearing masks and they were marching through the streets. But there was no outcry. But when somebody like the president gets sick, they want to blame him because he wasn't always wearing a mask. But in order to be around the president, you had everybody that came around him had to be tested. You couldn't go around him unless you were tested beforehand. So they were taking the precautions. And even when he was holding his rallies, he didn't have people close by, and the people that were standing in back of him had to have a mask on. So you just don't know. You don't know now where you can pick this thing up. It's a ridiculous thing. So we're in the end times, and Sid Roth can tell people that, oh, I think he was saying, maybe it was Armageddon. We could hold back Armageddon, I think he said. Yeah, I think that's what he said. If the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ could hold back Armageddon. I have news for him. You are not God. And you can't stop what the Bible prophesies, even though we would like to. Who wants to see anybody go through anything that's worse than this? This is pretty bad as it is. And we don't know if we're ever going to have normal, if it's ever going to be normal, if they could ever get rid of this thing. You just don't know. And so these people are so weird. There's nothing wrong with hope and faith and somebody trying to make you feel better when things look bad, and encouraging us and trying to keep the nation upbeat, which we have to live, and people have to go to work, and people have to go to school, and you have to go to the store. And there's certain things you have to go out. You have to be around people. So we have to have our lives. So, but as far as these false prophets and false teachers trying to tell people that it'll be okay and we can just pray it away, you're not going to pray it away. You can pray all you want, but you're not going to pray away the great tribulation. It's just not going to happen. Anyway, this is the last part of this guy's.
Cried with a loud voice, while the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the union last. And taking from his brow the crown on which emblazoned the word union, he placed it upon the standard, while the people kneeling down said amen. The scene instantly began to fade and dissolve. I at last saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor I first beheld. This also disappearing, I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor, who in the same voice I had heard before said, "Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic." Seeing this mysterious visitor, the female angel that's standing before Washington says, "Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful is the third. But in this greatest conflict, the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and the Union." With these words, the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein I had been shown to me the birth, progress, and destiny of the United States. Thus ended General George Washington's vision and prophecy for the United States of America, as told in his own words. So if you go back, I encourage you to go back and read the vision and prophecy for yourself. It's clear that the first one is talking about, the first of the three is the Revolutionary War that America overcomes. Then the dark cloud from Africa is all the slaves that are brought here, the nation's divided, and the angel comes out, "Remember that you're all brethren." They drop their weapons and they reunite as a country. The third is, if you consider George Washington any kind of a valid resource, and I do because I believe he was an inspired man.
he believes he was an inspired man. I don't know. He was a Mason. He was seeing female angels floating in the air. I don't think so. It sounds like a good story, and so. Now they're bringing it up, the guy on Sid Roth is trying to sell his book, and than this guy here, the Mormon guy. Of course, their infatuation with angels anyway. But if anybody tells you that they're seeing angels and the angels are giving them prophecies, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, I don't care what angel said it. And especially a female angel, because there aren't any female angels. And angels don't become humans either. I know we've done some programs on this. We'll probably do some more programs on it in the future. The Nephilim. And they want to tell you that angels come and have children. And it's just one ridiculous thing after the other. But most of the time it's just to sell books that they say these things. But here's another audio about George Washington being amazing.
I'm going to take you for today's feature to the Library of Congress to learn a little bit about George Washington as a master mason, because it was on this day, August the 4th of 1753, that George Washington became a master mason, the highest rank in the fraternity of Freemasonry, in his hometown of Fredericksburg, Virginia. The 21-year-old young man would soon hold his first military commission. Derived from the practices and rituals of the medieval guild system, Freemasonry gained popularity in the 18th century, particularly in Great Britain. British Masons organized the first North American chapter in 1731. Masons aroused considerable suspicion in the early American Republic with their mysterious rites and closely held secrets. These fears mushroomed in response to the suspicious death in 1826 of William Morgan, who was said to have been murdered on account of his threat to reveal the secrets of Freemasonry. For George Washington, apparently joining the Masons was a rite of passage, an expression of civic responsibility. Members were required to express their belief in a supreme being and in the immortality of the soul.
I don't think so. You see, he's trying to whitewash it, but the book that the Masons use is called Morals and Dogma, and that's a creepy book. Oh, it's really creepy, but Morals and Dogma of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Simply Morals and Dogma is a book of esoteric philosophy published by the Supreme Council 33rd Degree of the Scottish Rite, Southern Jurisdiction of the United States. It was compiled by Albert Pike, and it was first published in 1871 and was reprinted thereafter until 1969. So an upgraded reprint was released in 2011. And it is creepy. So I know that they do good works and they have hospitals and this kind of thing. But I think some people join in the beginning and they don't really know what it is. It's like a fraternity, and they go there and they have all these rituals that they do, and they dress up in these outfits. And I guess the men like it. And so I don't think they really find out. Of course, if they read that book that was written by Albert Pike, I had taken some excerpts out of the book at one time just to look at it, and it was so creepy. I had to stop looking at it because it was really demonic. And I think if you just look at some of these excerpts, you'll see that it really doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. But they're not allowed to divulge what goes on in these Masonic temples, and there's so many of them around the country, and some of them are very, very elaborate, very expensive buildings. But you can see some of these, of course, look up some of this information. And quite a few presidents of the United States were Masons. Let me think if I could remember a few of them. I think there was Gerald Ford. I'm not sure if it was Roosevelt. I could look that up real quick, but there was quite a few presidents that were Masons and high degree Masons. I don't know how that plays into everything, of course, but I guess it kind of plays into the deep state, which I know there is. I know there is a deep state. There has to be a deep state because there is a good and an evil. There's some great people that go to Washington, and they're kind of like that guy that Jimmy Stewart played when he goes to Washington, and he's all bright-eyed, and he thinks everybody's honorable, and everybody wants to do the right thing. Oh, Mr. Smith goes to Washington. But then he finds out how corrupt everybody is, and then they basically try to drive him crazy because he's trying to be honest, and he's trying to do the right thing, and he's got all these wicked, evil people around him that are power-hungry. So you see the same thing now in government. You see these wicked people, and the way they talk and the things they say, and they're power hungry. They just want power. They just want to control people. And so I don't think that the people in this country are going to go for another lockdown. That's for sure. No, people aren't going to go for it. They're just not going to do it. We want to live. People want to live. They want to support their families and, of course, take the precautions that they can. But people aren't going to go for it anymore. And they're trying to control. Of course, they've come down hard on the churches trying to meet, too. They didn't. These deep state people, they don't care about people running around, thousands of people running around the streets, marching in there with their riots or whatever. No, they don't. They weren't arresting them and putting them, threatening to put them away for a long time. They were letting them burn and loot and whatever. But then when people wanted to go to church, they were arresting some of these pastors. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have one law and order for church-going people, then one law, another law and order for rioters. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. You have to have. There's got to be law and order, but we're not seeing. We're not seeing law and order. It's basically. You have some of these renegade governors and senators and congressmen that the law and order is going to be what they say the law and order is going to be. And I never saw anything so crazy. Bailing people out of jail. They have these bail funds where they go and they bail these criminals out of jail, and then they put them back on the streets to riot and loot and destroy people's livelihoods, and the governors and the mayors of the city stand back and let it happen. Try to figure that one out. Try to figure that one out. If I went next door to my neighbor's house and started throwing stones at it and set it on fire, I would get arrested. And I don't think anybody would bail me out because I'm not a member of their group. There are certain groups that they like to bail out. So yeah, there's we're seeing it more and more. It's so pronounced that there's one form of law and order for these people, and then there's another form for other people. But presidents known to be Masons were Washington, James Monroe, Andrew Jackson, James Polk, James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson, James Garfield, William McKinley, Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, Warren Harding, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Lyndon Johnson, and Gerald Ford. Yeah, So that's it. That's it. But next week we'll do a more in-depth program. I know Jackie knows a lot about this Manly P. Hall, and he did all kinds of research on the Masons and some of the history that's behind all this. But I tell you, Saints, we need to pray, and we need to really hear from God and stand strong. We're going to need each other in these end days, because God has a remnant. Of course, He's got a remnant church. He has a church that's not going to bow the knee to any false gospel, and we're going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what happens. And we don't know what's going to happen in the days ahead. We're really at a crossroads, and it could go either way. It could really go either way. And I kind of grieve for this country to see what may happen in the future. It'll be sad if all the things happen that we're being presented with. So whatever you do, if you want to vote, and you do get a mail-in ballot, take it and drop it off at your supervisor of elections office. I wouldn't put it in the mail. You can get an absentee ballot if you haven't applied for one. I think you can still get them. And then you ask for it, so, and then you have to sign it, and you can take it over to the supervisor of elections, and they have a drop box there where you can leave it, or you can, of course, vote in person, which is the best thing to do. So you have your options. You don't have to mail it. I don't know why they're really not explaining that to people, that they don't really have to put it in the mail, because there's too much of a chance that it could get lost, or somebody could dump your ballot. And they could say all they want that there's no evidence that ballots are being destroyed or they're being thrown away. They are. There's proof out there that it's happened. And so I don't care what people say. They could say all they want that these things don't happen, but they do happen. There's plenty of things that happen out there that we would probably be shocked if we knew the truth of what goes on, and some, especially when it comes to politics. Yikes. People are wicked for power. And it's like that in the church, too. You have power grabs and political games that are being played, but God help us, you know. Anyway, I don't know if Brother Vince is still in the chat room, but if you want to put the name of your radio program up with the times it's on, you could put it in the chat room, and I'll tell the people when it's on. But thanks, everybody that came by today, everybody that's been in the chat room, and all my listeners. I appreciate you all very much, and I enjoy getting your words of encouragement. So remember, if you want to email me, you can email me at susan@propheticnews.com. And don't forget to pray for our president, because he's definitely not out of the woods yet, and that God protects him from the wrong doctors, and sometimes you just don't know what they're giving you, if it's going to help you or hurt you. But we just pray for the Lord to heal him. That's the best way to get healed, is when the Lord does it. Amen. So we pray for him and his family, that God restores them, and we'll see what the Lord does in the days ahead. It's certainly one thing after another, things that are happening that we can't believe. Here's his radio program, Brother Vince, is called Profit or Loss. And It's on Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so that's Profit or Loss, and it's Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Truth Sharks Radio, and that's on Blog Talk Radio. I recommend Brother Vince has a good broadcast, and he had a broadcast a while back. It was called Black by Color Only, and it was it was really good. So he's probably still got some of those programs up. But anyway, God bless you all today. Don't forget the most important thing today is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you don't know what the future holds. Nobody knows. But you can know what the future holds as far as your destiny, where you're going when you die. You can have eternal life, and you can have forgiveness of sins. That's something that the Lord Jesus promised us. He promised that when he left here, when he left the earth, that he was going to go and prepare a place for you. And that he said, where I go, you can come also. So It's a good deal. Jesus Christ gave his life for us so we can have eternal life and we could have forgiveness of sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you need forgiveness of sins, you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, and he will forgive you no matter what your sin is. He will forgive you, and he will restore you, and he will give you peace, and he will give you joy, and he will give you a home in heaven. Because you, I don't care how much money you have, you can't get peace, you can't buy peace, you can't buy joy. And Christians, we can be happy and we can have joy and peace in the midst of any storm. We can still reach out and we can get that joy and we can get that peace, even if we are crying and there's tears, and yet we can still feel joy and peace in the midst of a storm. So ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And he will do it. And he will do it. God bless you. And let's see. Brother Vince says, Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. CNM Radio. And here on Blog Talk Radio, Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. And he'll be doing a show today. Okay? All right, everybody, thanks for stopping by in the chat room. God bless you all. Thanks, Shannon, for stopping by. And stay safe over there in California. We used to say California, land of the fruits and the flakes, or whatever we used to say. But beautiful California, beautiful, beautiful. All right, God bless you.
Blessed be